It's funny, I was thinking, you know, when we're having that little malfunction with the microphone, I was thinking back in the day, you know, you think about the times that Jesus addressed, what, 5,000 people, and they had coliseums where they would gather the entire city. They didn't have Bluetooth, they didn't have wireless speakers, they didn't have all that stuff, but somehow sound got projected. So I thought it was interesting. You know, today we rely on technology to get it, but back in the day, addressing 5,000 people. I mean, the largest crowd I've ever spoken to was about 1,400 people. And so I can imagine 5,000 people trying to address them without a microphone, without any technology, is just absolutely amazing. But we made it through, did we? Right? And I would imagine even in the day when they first built this church, it was probably, there probably wasn't a PA, I don't think. There probably wasn't any of that stuff, yet everybody in the back row and the top balconies could hear everything that was going on. I thought it was fascinating. So anyways, I'm excited to be here. I know they didn't, they say, Alexander was joking. He says, you know, he says, how do you introduce Jim? Jim's the guy that doesn't need an introduction. But you may. I mean, if you're just visiting, you don't know who this character is up here. My name is Jim, and I'm just filling in over the summer, doing a couple Sundays through the summer as Aubrey, the minister here, is off for the summer, taking a well-deserved, well-needed break. How many would agree that if you work 20 years, you would deserve a few months off? Amen. I mean, so I'm more than happy to step in, and I'm excited to be. I hope you're just as excited as I am, you know, to just allow me to come and share. So I'm looking forward to this. And I thought today, you know, since it's Father's Day, I thought it would be fitting that we talk about fathers. Would that be a good topic to talk about on Father's Day? You know, it was fun last Saturday morning. We gathered for the first men's breakfast in a long time. And there, we planned for 30. We thought 25 might show up, but almost 40 showed up. So that was a good thing, except for the bacon and the turkey sausages. They suffered. They disappeared quickly. But we managed to get through it. I was just joking with the guys, thinking, we better start praying for multiplication, right? Back in the day when Jesus took the fish and the loaves, and again, 5,000. It was something about the 5,000. I don't know what it was about 5,000. It just seemed to be the thing. But I'm thinking, man, we better start praying over the bacon and start praying over the sausage and see those things multiply. But we all went through. I don't think there was a guy that went home hungry. At least I didn't hear any complaints. And guys will usually complain if they're hungry, right? They're going to complain if their tummy's still rumbling after a meal. So I thought it'd be fitting that we talk about fathers. And I want to first read Psalm 103, just a few verses out of that, just to set a picture of what God's heart is, what His heart is. We sung about, you know, that just a little bit earlier. We sang about how God is faithful, how He's good. He's, you know, He has a pure heart towards us. And so I thought it would be good if we read a little bit out of Psalm 103. So starting at verse 6, it says, "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and the place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts." So when we look at that, we can see that some attributes that we can pick up is, you know, God is righteous, right? He loves righteousness. He loves justice. We can see that He's compassionate, gracious, slow to anger. These are some of the attributes of God. And then we go into the New Testament, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, Paul talks about what love is, right? He talks about how it's patient, how it's kind, it's not self-seeking, it's not self-serving, it keeps no record of wrong. So we see what pure love is. When I say the word Father, what's the first image that comes to your mind? What are some of the pictures, some of the images, some of the attributes that you would think of? You know, one of the most contradictory things, I think, in the church that keeps people from really connecting to Christianity is that we refer to God as a Father. Many can't accept that. Many choose to deny deity, deny the righteousness of God because they can't accept that he's a Father. But every one of us is different. Every one of us is different based on the experiences that we have. Based on our experiences, we see or we experience things differently. So, for some, we may get this out of, and I know I'm messing you all up, aren't I, Ted? Poor Ted, he gets these slides, and then he's supposed to just try to follow me along with it. So there will be one there that says, for some. There we go. So for some, we might get this image. Right? We may just kind of picture a father just kind of standing off in the back, just waiting for us to do something wrong. Right? Kind of sitting like Jay is right now, just arms crossed. I dare you to defy me. I dare you to get close. Right? But sometimes, for some of us, that's the experience that we had with a dad, with a father, is that he's sitting off, waiting for us to do something wrong. Or he's just stand off, just silent, saying nothing, just really quiet. For others, we might get this image. Right? Dad's always on the run, always doing something, always going someplace, right? Working late, up early and gone before we're up, right? Just always on the go, always busy, always running, always has time for things outside the home, but not enough time for inside the home. And for others, it might be this image. Where dad's there, but he's not there. Right? He's home, but he's just preoccupied. I was thinking about that sitcom. How many remember the sitcom Leave It to Beaver? Right? Some of you remember that. For those under 40 or 50, I'll explain. It was a sitcom based out of the 50s, probably, I think, because it was black and white when I remember watching it. And for you younger ones, yeah, television used to be in black and white. There was no such thing as color TV. It was black and white. But there was a sitcom, and it portrayed a typical North American family. Dad sitting at home, smoking his pipe, reading the newspaper, while mom was busy in the kitchen looking after the kids and trying to keep the fort down and keep everything going. That was the typical image. And that may be the image that you have of a father, that he was there, but when he was there, he was busy doing something else. He was behind a book or in front of the television, behind a newspaper, never really interacting, but just there. So where do we go from here? Where do we go? Because when we think about it, it all begins in one place. Our understanding, the image that we have, the perception that we have of Father, which we can translate into the perception and the understanding that we have of God, starts in one place, and it's in our heart. It all starts in our heart. Everything that we receive as love growing up comes into our heart, doesn't it? Right? We receive it into our hearts. And what I'm going to attempt here, I love giving Alexander crazy things. I show up on Sunday mornings and, you know, I give them these crazy things. Like one Sunday it was, I need a stool to sit on just so I can sit and just have a platform. So he was racing around trying to find me a chair to sit on. And then one day I said, you know what, I'm going to start my talk at the back of the balcony. And then the poor sound guys are going, I don't know if that's going to work. Right? So I love doing that. And then this morning it was like, I need something to draw on. He's going, So we got this. So I hope it works. I hope it works. Now, it's set up for a right-handed person, so I'm going to just kind of adjust a little bit. So you'll have to excuse my body as I go back and forth. But let's picture a heart. I'll double this up so it's a little bit thicker. And we'll do the test. Can you see it in the back? Can you see that heart up in the balcony? Can you see that? Okay, we can see that. Good. It's thick enough.
So let's picture that that's our heart. So everything that we receive as love is interpreted through our heart. Would you agree? Right? We don't just, we think about it, but it goes through our heart. We process it through our heart. So as things come in, as love comes into our heart, it's processed. And that's what we love from. Right? The love that we receive is what we project unto others. So as we're growing up, what we receive from our fathers, we perceive it as love. But that love may be coming with conditions. Right? We read scripture, and scripture says there's no conditions. God loves us unconditionally, doesn't he? But fathers, we often love our kids conditionally. Get good grades, I'll love you more. Right? Behave yourself, I'll really love you a lot. Clean up your room, I really love you. Right? We oftentimes love with conditions. And we love with actions that sometimes don't portray love correctly. But because we're young and innocent, we interpret that as, oh, that must be love. But what happens with that impure love, when it comes in, it leaves sediment in our hearts. Just those conditions that come with it. Those things that are tagged with it. Those expressions that maybe we grew up with a father that was a little bit heavier on discipline. And those conditions come into our heart, and that leaves sediment, that leaves a little bit behind, because it's not a pure love. And then what happens is, when we try to love, we're loving out of a lesser capacity, because all that sediment builds in our heart from all the things that we experience growing up. All the different interactions we have with people that's supposed to be done out of love begins to leave sediment in our hearts. Does that make sense? And so that reduces the capacity of our hearts. And what happens is, generation after generation, as we've gotten further and further away from the fall, right? You remember the fall that happened in Genesis, right? At the very beginning of the book, right? The last 60 some odd books have been trying to explain it and redeem it all. But the first couple of chapters, we blew it. We had the fall. We had this disconnect with God. So we've been coming further and further away from true love. But we're still trying to love because we need to be loved. We need to be loved, and we need to express love. So we do it with the best that we've got. We do it, even if it's just a limited capacity, we love. And so over generations, as let's take a great-grandfather. Let's take a great-grandfather in his heart. Now he's loving our grandfather. Maybe he had a limited love, and then the next one has a little bit of limited love, and now he's going to nurture and love our father, and then our father is going to love us, and now this is us getting that love from him. So you see, after generation, we've gotten more and more sentiment in our hearts. Yet we don't know this. We're unaware of it. We just continue to grow and experience love and share love, but we've been experiencing it in a lesser and lesser capacity. It'd be kind of like taking a fish aquarium. Let's take a 10-pound or 10-gallon fish aquarium. If we filled that fish aquarium with cement, half-filled with cement, and poured water into it, right, we're not going to have 10 gallons of water. We're only going to have 5 gallons, right? Because the capacity has just changed. And that's what happens in our heart. But the other thing that happens in our hearts is that sediment may sit there dormant until somebody expresses that they love us or shows that they love us. And that love goes into our heart, and it may stir up some of that sediment. Right? Again, take the fish tank example. You know, if we put dirt in the bottom of that fish tank and poured water in, all the water in the dirt would stir up, wouldn't it? And so if we tried to scoop out a cup, we wouldn't get a cup of pure water. We'd get all that sediment inside of it. And that's what happens with our hearts. When we get into experiences, it can stir up some of that sediment. Yet we're still trying to love out of that. The other thing that we do is externally. Externally, we put up guards, don't we? Right? If we've ever been hurt in a relationship, right, we're extra guarded in the next relationship, because we're not going to let that happen again. Nobody's going to treat me that way twice, right? So we put guards up. So then on the outside of our heart, now we start getting guards. We get all these little protection things happening all around our hearts, so that we don't allow all the negative stuff and the bad stuff and the conditional stuff and all that stuff to come in to hurt and wound us even more. So now it's a double compounded effect that we have this heart that we want to love because we're made to love, yet we're doing it with the sediment from past experience, the things that have been passed on to us, and now we've got guards that we're putting up around it to protect ourselves. And over time, we end up with people, with churches, that are only loving in limited capacity. But we think it's love. We still believe it's love because that's all we know. It's not until we come in line with true love from God that we can begin to get that corrected. The problem is, for most of us, we ignore that. Because past experiences are one thing, right? But how many want to relive it again? I don't see any hands, right? Nobody wants to relive that stuff again. So when we go through these experiences, maybe we were raised and you know, our fathers were heavy-fisted. They may be verbally abusive. They may have been all kinds of different things. So we don't want to relive that again. So we try to do differently with our kids, but we still got that sediment inside that we haven't dealt with. So we're loving our kids out of a limited capacity, thinking that that's a full heart, a full amount of love. But it's not until we come into line with God and just say, I need you to start working in this heart so that I can live from a fuller capacity. We're fearful of reliving those things because it's just as painful to go through the thought or go through those memories to deal with those things. So we just ignore it. We just say, oh, no, I'm okay. Everything's fine. Everything's good. We paint on a nice smile in the mornings and away we go. Meanwhile, inside, we're longing for more love. We're longing to get rid of this stuff, but we don't want to deal with that stuff because of the pain that comes along with it. I won't ask for hands of anybody that's been there. I know I've been there. It's much easier just to keep going through and just pretend it didn't happen, pretend it didn't go on, it doesn't exist, there's no pain, there's no hurt with it. We just continue on. The trouble is we get days like this where it's Father's Day, but then the memories start coming up, the thoughts start coming up, the ideals start coming up, the concepts start coming up, the visions start coming up, the pictures start coming up. And for often, so many of us, it's a hard day to go through because of the past history that we had. It was interesting in the U.S., in the prison system, they decided on Mother's Day that they would get a bunch of Mother's Day cards to give to the inmates, to give to their mothers. So they bought a couple thousand cards and they gave them out. And to their surprise, they were all gone by the end of the day. They were all gone. These inmates, the men had filled out the cards and they're ready to mail them off to their mothers. So they thought, well, next time we better get more. So Father's Day came around. They said, well, let's do it again. You know, work well with the mothers. Let's do it with the fathers. So they had a couple thousand cards. So they thought, well, we better get a few hundred extra cards just in case, you know, because it went so well with the mothers. It's probably going to go really well with the fathers. Anybody got a guess at how many cards were filled out? I saw somebody's hand back there with a two. It's exactly what it was. Two cards out of a couple thousand were filled out. Why is that? Because of the disconnect between fathers. I believe that one of the biggest things that the enemy wants to do is destroy the family. Anybody agree? Right? The enemy doesn't want the families to survive. He doesn't want them to thrive. He doesn't want them to do well. So what do? Well, God told Adam that he was to be the leader of the home. He was to be the leader. He was to be the example. So what happens is the enemy just attacks the men, separate them, isolate them, get them going. Why? Because men, we process things differently, right? Women, you ever notice that? Men process things a little bit different than you do. You're amazing sharing your emotions and sharing your thoughts and being able to circle around and talk and work things out. Guys? Right? That's it. That's the extent. Ask the guy what's wrong. You okay? How was the weather? How was work? Right, that's all you get out of a guy. Because we process things differently. Earlier this year, I was at an event in the States. And it was a friend of mine that had this event, and I was just there to encourage and support. And through this three-day event, it's doing a lot of this stuff, just working with heart issues. And there was a lot of things stirring up, and there was about 20 of us in this. It was a smaller group. There was about 20 of us. There was five guys and 15 women. And over the first day, day and a half, getting into day two, the guys were getting a little bit quieter. The women, of course, you're just carrying on and just interacting and sharing, and you're getting free, and you're doing all kinds of, you know, you're just going for it. One of the women, she spoke up, and she said, "I've noticed that the men are getting quieter and quieter." And she said, "I want to understand as a woman why that is. So can you guys help me understand why you're so quiet? Because my father was like that. He always seemed so disconnected. He always seemed like he just didn't care." And so the other four men, they didn't offer anything, so I thought, well, I'll offer something. So I began to explain the way men process things, because that's what it is. When we get data in, when we get information in, we need to process it, don't we, guys? We can't just always come up with a solution. We need to think about it. We need to ponder. We need to, you know, kind of poke around and just kind of work things out. And so as I was sharing that, I noticed that some of the women that were sitting around were starting to get a little teary-eyed. Because again, as we started off this morning, we were talking about images of God, images of fathers. What image comes up? And for them, when they got thinking about a father being distant, a father not being there, a father not caring, not expressing love, not showing them affection, or opposite, doing it in a negative way. Because we learned that some of these women had come from abusive relationships where they were abused physically, mentally, emotionally, some even sexually. And so it was stirring up all kinds of emotion, and they began to cry. One woman, she was looking at me as I was sharing how men process and how we go about things. She turned away from me. She wouldn't even look. And it was in that moment that God spoke to me, and he said, "I want you to stand in the gap for men." I said, "All right." So I asked my friend if I could go and share a couple things. And of course, we have a good friendship and he trusts me. So he said, "Of course." And so I went up and I stood in front of those women. And I said, "You see men sitting in a back corner, disconnected. Those men are sitting in that back corner because they can see both doorways coming into this place. It's a protective mode. Sometimes men will just sit back in the back corners and we're just watching, making sure everybody's okay, making sure everybody's safe. It's an instinctive thing. If men have instinct, that's one of the instincts that we have, is to make sure that they're protected, to make sure everything is good. We may sit in a corner, we may stand in a corner where we can see everything that's going on. I know a few weeks back, we had an incident here in the church, and I don't know if some of you may not have been aware, but half a dozen men got up and stood in the back. I was one of them. I had no idea why I was standing back there. I just felt the Lord say, "You need to stand in that back corner." And when I looked, there was four of us at the doorways because it was just an instinctive thing to protect. And so I shared with these women and I said, "I want to stand here as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather, as a brother, as a leader, as a pastor, as a coach, as a teacher. And I want to ask your forgiveness for not being the man that you needed in that moment, or for taking advantage of that moment when you needed a man the most." There wasn't a dry eye in that place, including the four other men at the back. There is something that we need, something that we desire, something that we long for, and that's pure love. We long to be loved unconditionally. We long to be loved and to give love the way the Father in heaven intended. The problem is most of us haven't taken the time to allow him to come and do the work to cleanse that sediment, to start to remove some of those guards. And we've walked through most of our life with hearts filled with sediment and hearts guarded, unable to love fully. Yet at the same time, we believe we're loving. Do you get what I mean? We believe that we're loving fully, but we're only loving from a partial heart. Until God comes in and starts doing a transformative work, a redemptive work inside our hearts, and starts eliminating some of that sediment, it starts eliminating some of those doubts, those beliefs, those things, those conditions that we felt all our lives growing up. Until we get to that place saying, Father, I need you to wash my heart clean. So, where do we go from here? I want to suggest we pray. We sing Sunday after Sunday, don't we? Father, your love is perfect. God, your love is amazing. You're a good, good God. There's nothing imperfect in you. We sing these things over and over, yet we haven't allowed that to wash the sediment out of our hearts. Imagine what a church would look like if we allowed God to come in and just remove the sediment in our heart and we started operating and loving out of pure hearts. Imagine what a church would look like. Because I dare to say, when you look at statistics, there isn't much difference between the church and the world. Drug addiction is almost the same in the church and the world. Marriages falling apart is almost the same in the church and in the world. In other words, there's not a whole lot of difference. So why would people want to step out of where they are and come into church and have that relationship with God when they don't see any different? It's the transformative work that needs to begin to happen in our hearts so that people start to see people loving. Right? We read that all through the New Testament. John says, people will know who you are. What? By the love that's in your hearts. By the love that comes out of your hearts. We'll accept most everything about God, but that he's really a loving father and that he really loves us and that he can do the things he says he can do. So today, I want to encourage us to change that. And I want to pray for us, if that's okay. Do I have permission to pray? I got a permission. I got an amen from Audrey, so I'm praying. I want you to just close your eyes, bow your head, leave your head up. I don't matter. You can leave your eyes open. Doesn't matter to me. I'm going to pray with my eyes open. But I want to pray this morning. And I want to invite you to picture the image you think of when you think of Father. When you think of a father, what do you picture? What words come to mind when you think of Father? You may have had a great father, and that's amazing. But think of how much more amazing it can be when he gets a hold of your heart and removes that sediment and starts to break down those barriers so that when situations rise, you don't look at it and say, oh, I remember that one. I'm not going near that. I did that once before and it hurt like heck. I'm not going to go there again. Father, I ask that you would come and that you would paint a picture for each one of us of what we see when we think of Father. And we invite you to come and begin to work in our hearts. We invite you to come and just begin to remove that sediment, remove the blocks and the barriers from around our heart, that we could begin to love with a pure love, that we could begin to love with your love. And I want to stand here this morning. And I want to stand in the gap. And I'm standing here as a man. I'm standing here as a husband. I'm standing here as a father, as a grandfather, as a brother, as a friend. And I want to ask your forgiveness on behalf of the men in your life that weren't there in a way that you needed them when you needed them. Or perhaps there were men that took advantage and overpowered and dominated. And I want to ask your forgiveness. Part of the healing work is just receiving that from the Father in heaven, that he could begin to come in and start to do a work. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and that you would fill each one of our hearts, that you would begin to remove the sediment that's in our hearts, that we would begin to love with a pure heart. And we give you permission, God, to remove ever so gently the barriers that we placed around our hearts, that we would begin to love again, that we would begin to experience love, share love, express love. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and just fill our hearts. Fill our hearts. And this word is specifically for the men, for fathers. Don't abuse your position. People around you may love you only because of your position. Men, I'm encouraging you to do everything in your power to share love with those around you so that they love you because of you, not just because of the title you have. That in this day, I think more than ever, we need to see that. We need to see men rise up, take that rightful place, and begin to walk in that true, pure love. And my heart is that we get to this point, this last slide. That's the image that we would start to think of when we think of Father. Every time that image comes up, it chokes me a little bit. That there's two things in that. One, you know, the dad with his arms open wide, that would be the image that we have of God for us. That his arms are open wide. When you think of the story of the prodigal son, the dad couldn't wait to run down that driveway to get his son. He ran to him with open arms. And the second thing is that child running up to the dad, his arms aren't stretched forward for him to pick up. His arms are stretched backwards. Do you know what that means? That body position is total abandonment. There's no defense. There's none of this. There's nothing protective. It's complete abandonment. Knowing that if he tripped and fell on his face, dad would be there to pick him up. That's the image I pray for you that you would have as you think of Father. That if you tripped, he'd pick you back up. If you run towards him, scared, afraid, or even just delighted and excited, you would know that you could run to him completely abandoned. Wouldn't that be a great place to be? That we could all live from that place of abandonment with God. Men, I encourage you to build such a relationship that that's the way the people that love you and look up to you run to you. That they would run to you with complete abandonment. That's the men that we need. So I bless you today as you go through Father's Day. Celebrate the good things. And as the memories come up, now you'll know what to do with them. As they come up, just say, God, I need you to work on that one. I need you to wash over that one. I need you to clean that one up. I need you to take that one. So that we could get to that place of running in complete abandonment. Amen.